Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church as we gather on this Easter morning worship service. It's wonderful to be gathered with you this morning as we continue to hear how the hand of the Lord works mightily in our lives. We continue to study throughout the weeks God's Word, Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock and on Thursday afternoons at 1:30. You can come and join in a study and be encouraged and strengthened in your faith. This morning, our opening service hymn is number 457. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again.
Death no longer has dominion over him.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. For I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We speak responsively the introit. I awake, and I am still with you. Alleluia.
You lay your hand upon me. Alleluia.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is high, I cannot attain it.
O Lord, you have searched me and know me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up.
If I ascend to heaven, you are there.
If I make my bed,
even there your hand shall lead me.
And your right hand shall hold me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I awake, and I am still with you. Alleluia. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is high, I cannot attain it.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
by Isaiah, 25th chapter, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read the gradual with me.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
The epistle is found in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 12 through 25. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as you're able for the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
On the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite the congregation to be seated. That we have in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we speak together the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
At this time, the children that are present may come forward for our Easter children's message. Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. I am so glad to see you here this morning as we are celebrating Jesus. There are a lot of things that we're able to do to celebrate on this Easter. How many of you have time together with your family on Easter? You try to get Easter get-togethers. Do you have any special Easter family traditions that you do as a family? Any?
An Easter dinner,
okay. Have you guys done anything this morning already? Mm-hmm. What did you do?
We hunted for the Easter baskets at 5 a.m.
Okay. Some people hunt for Easter baskets. And maybe similar to Easter basket hunt, do any of you ever hunt for Easter eggs? Yeah, sometimes Easter egg hunts. Now, what do you like about hunting for Easter eggs?
Candy.
What about it?
There's candy inside.
There's candy inside. So this egg has got a cross on it, right? And so what should we find in it? What would you hope to find in it?
Nothing.
Well, you say nothing. But is that what you want your Easter eggs that you're hunting to find is nothing in them?
No.
You don't want them empty, but this one, it is. It's empty. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing on this Easter morning?
Yeah.
It's a good thing to have found something empty. The ladies, they went to the tomb, and the tomb, you guys know what a tomb is, right?
Yeah.
A tomb is where a body is laid when they have, that person has died, right? They go to the tomb, and they were expecting to find the body of Jesus. But was the tomb there full?
No.
It was?
Empty.
Kind of like this egg. So there are times where things that maybe we anticipate something, but then we are surprised. And God sure surprised them that morning by raising Jesus from the dead. I hope that in your Easter egg hunts, you don't necessarily find any empty eggs. But if you do, what can it remind you of?
Jesus.
That Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for raising him from the dead and the empty tomb that he left behind. As we live our lives, may we be filled with comfort and joy, knowing that the tombs of those who love you will one day be empty, and we will live with you for all eternity. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, I do have something you might appreciate a little bit better than my empty egg. There are some leftovers from yesterday's event, and these are full. So maybe you can wait until you're home if your mom and dad would say so. Our congregation is going to continue by singing hymn 474. Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our Lenten season, we were talking about the hand of the Lord and many of the different things that the hand of the Lord was able to do. The hand of the Lord that heals, the hand of the Lord that comforts, the hand of the Lord that raises the dead, the hand of the Lord who was pierced for us. And today, we look and focus on the hand of the Lord who is raised. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He is alive and lives today. He is with you and will never leave your side. The hand of the Lord, yes, is at work, continues to work mightily in his creation. Christ is arisen. He is arisen indeed. Alleluia. King David, nearly 1,000 years before Christ, writes in Psalm 16, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of life. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David is confident that he has the right understanding. He has found it at the right hand of the Lord. In the Lord's presence, there is life. With the Lord, there is fullness of joy. He is the Lord of life. And how was it that David could write these words of joy and peace 1,000 years before Jesus' resurrection? What do they have to say to us now, nearly 2,000 years after his resurrection? Where does this peace at the right hand of the Lord come from? Where does the peace and joy come from when David says that it is at the right hand of the Lord? We live in a time when peace and joy appears to be in short supply. We've seen what the hand of the world is capable of and how it is at work. We live in times where we are often restless, anxious. We can even find spitefulness and even downright hatred across our lives. We're blasted by these messages from all around us, radios, newspapers, and screens. And so people can often see and recognize that something is wrong. So how are we going to make things right? What changes need to be made? What can you do to help yourself? More self-care? Do what makes you happy, or maybe any number of other therapeutic fixes. But how does that really work out for you, for those around you, for our society as a whole? The answer is that the problems of this world just keep coming. I know I've found myself alienating people, and so trying to restore the relationship, focusing on them, and then all of a sudden somebody else is alienated. It seems like that with my children. Dad, well, okay. Well, Dad, well, okay. And then nobody's happy. And then the hole seems to be even deeper. I don't have the problems solved, not with the works of my own hands. But David writes, the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. How true that is. If we follow the world and its ways, the gods of this world, me, myself, and I, our problems do multiply. David knew hardship and heartache. He knew what difficulties life has. And yet, he sees where true joy is found. The answer for David was not look inside yourself and find the strength within, or just try a little harder. Rather, he points us to the one who holds all things in his hands. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. David speaks of the Lord being at his right hand. His confidence is in God, our Heavenly Father, trusting in him alone. That is his trust. That is the one he will put his hopes upon, God, our Heavenly Father, and God's promises. So therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. The Lord is with David, holding his hand. The Lord is with Israel, time and time again. And yet there is a time when the people of Israel look at the hand of the Lord and they wonder what has gone wrong. The disciples, as they followed Jesus, they had put their trust and hope in him, as Jesus had told them that all who believe in him will never die, but will have life. They trust in him, and yet they had witnessed his hands nailed to the cross, those hands that had brought life to others, that had given healing. They saw those hands void of any life as he was taken down from the cross, wrapped in the grave clothes, and his hands lay dead in the tomb. They thought their hopes were gone. But Christ came to this world that is fallen and in disarray, a world under the curse of sin. He himself was delivered into the hands of sinful men, indeed, the works of our own sins. His hands were nailed to the cross. There he took the world's sin and fallenness. For even though he knew no sin, he became sin. He took it all to the cross where, yes, he died for it. But that is not the end. The women, they carry spices to the tomb in their hands, looking and expecting that they need to add fragrance to this corrupted, decaying, and dead body. Instead, they find the stone rolled away to reveal an empty tomb. David's psalm is really about Jesus. He says, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." David's tomb was still present, but the Holy One, Jesus Christ, his tomb on the third day is empty. Jesus was not abandoned to Sheol, the place of the dead, nor did his body decay and see corruption. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. He rose on the third day. He was raised to new life, never to die again. This is what the angels are talking about when they ask the women, "Why are you here looking for the living among the dead?" Jesus, he told you that on the third day he would rise. Remember how the Son of Man would be handed over into the hands of sinful men to be crucified, but then raised on the third day. These angels were reminding the women of the promises of Jesus, reminding them to remember what God had said. And God is faithful to his promises. His hand was at work through all of these events, as terrible and as horrible as they seemed. For now, the tomb is empty. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And now he lives and reigns to this day. He's ascended to the right hand of our Heavenly Father, where he reigns over all the world. He lives today in order to deliver that forgiveness that he won for you upon the cross. You, through baptism, are united to his death and his resurrection. He is always with you. He will never be leaving your side. He will help strengthen you in your faith. Because Jesus is with you, you know what has applied to his resurrection will also apply to yours. When he returns, he will raise you and all believers to be with him forever. Even now, his mighty hand, raised from the dead, will not abandon you. Even death does not have a final say. He is holding you in his hands. In his hands, he still has those glorious marks that prove his love for you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, our ushers come forward to gather our tithes and offerings. Please stand as we continue and sing the offertory. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy Lord, mighty God, You have borne the sin of the world and given to us the promise of new and everlasting life. Receive our thanks for the glorious resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Bring us with him to our own joyful resurrection and the reunion of all your saints. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have established the church as the instrument of your saving purpose and endowed us with the gift of your word and sacrament. Embolden us with the Holy Spirit, that we may be renewed in witness, sustained in trial, and refreshed through the means of grace. Bless those who bring your gifts and preach your word. Give us willing ears to hear and willing hearts to keep this Easter faith. Lord, in your mercy. Give peace, Lord, to our homes and enliven them by Christ's resurrected life. Let the forgiveness of sins reign among husbands and wives, parents and children. Assure those who live alone that they too are your children, upheld by your right hand. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, your healing and strength are the hope of all the weary and afflicted. According to your gracious will, give to all the sick and those who suffer healing and relief, especially Glenn, Tracy, Leroy, Consuelo, Gerald, and Jerry. Grant them patience and hope until that day when they put on new and glorious bodies raised by Christ and receive the end of all afflictions. Lord, in your mercy. Most Holy Father, this is the feast of victory, for the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. By your Spirit, prepare us to receive his body and blood for the strengthening of our faith in this mortal life. Build in us anticipation for the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we and all the people of God shall feast upon in his kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, you have not let your Holy One see corruption, but have raised him in triumph from the dead, never to die again. Therefore, our hearts are glad and we rejoice, for our flesh also dwells secure. Since you have set him at your right hand, lead us to set his resurrection before us at all times, that his path of life and the fullness of joy in his presence may be known to us until we come also to the eternal pleasures at his right hand forevermore. For you, O Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated at this time. I invite the congregation to please stand as you're able as we continue with the service of the sacrament. And certainly we do rejoice because God, our Savior, has come to us and comes to us in the true blessing of his body and blood. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.